I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Some fun on a Tuesday, and maybe this might be the most important day in the history of mankind. You know, hold on, that's probably too far. Maybe a little bit of hyperbole there. It's one of, I'd say, top five most important days in the history of mankind. Would you like to know why? I will tell you why in just a moment. Here's what's on tap for tonight. Oh, would you look at that? There's a meeting on police reform with Biden. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the divide of the nation, what it's going to look like. We have a little preview. Talk about this psychopath, trans model stabbing people to death. Bill Gates, the dramatic rise in heart attacks. People think the government is the problem, but they're still lost. Communist professors, chicken wings, Haiti, and so much more is to come tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. But let me begin with today. This momentous, that's how you say that word, right, Chris? Momentous, that means there's a lot of moments or something like that. Look, I don't know. I went to community college, but it's an important day. Why is it so important? Well, I have a couple emails here that may give away what I'm about to say, but these are the emails. Dear full-time menu whisperer, part-time radio host, do you have any book recommendations that talk about communism? You know what? I do have a book recommendation that talks about communism. Well, you're not going to believe this. Hang on. I have another email. I have many like this, but I'm going to read two. Dear Denzel Washington-ish. Like you, my church left me. By present circumstances, benefit me financially by staying, so on and so forth. Goes on to say, P.S., look forward to your book. It would be fantastic if it is full of grammatical errors and spelling mistakes, yet still number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Commies would foam at the mouth. His name's Brian. He says, your number one fan, probably the only fan in the neighborhood because he's from Northern Queens. No, Brian, you're not alone, but there ain't many of you. Okay, so what is the announcement? Well, I know you probably figured it out by now. The book is out. The book is out, and it's available for pre-order. Now, let me clarify something. I've actually never written a book before, and I still am unclear on some things. I don't understand why you can pre-order it now, but it's not available until June 6th. But they did explain to me in very, very, very strong terms that the pre-order part is like the most important part of the book, because apparently the New York Times, that whole bestseller list thing, they will bounce people on the right off of that list. It's not a hard and fast sales list unless you have so many pre-sales that you basically force them to put you on the list. The book is called The Anti-Communist Manifesto. Just like Marx wrote the Communist Manifesto, this is the Anti-Communist Manifesto. Do I make inappropriate jokes in the book that will get the communists extremely angry? Yes, I do. Is it still okay for your child to read? Yes, it is. Believe me, I had to work with some people to pare some things down. This guy'd want to throw in this joke. This guy, no. Kids are going to listen. Yes, it's for kids. Yes, it's for you. Yes, it is a blueprint of the various brands of communism here, what they are, the history of it, and how we fight back against it. For instance, did you know that there were tons of communists in post-World War I Germany? the Nazis and the communists were actually fighting each other, and that that's really where the whole Antifa thing came from. And then the communists, because they're anti-human trash, just like the Nazis, they just switched over and became Nazis after the Nazis took over. And you know what they called them? Beefsteaks. Beefsteak Nazis. Why? Brown on the outside, red in the middle. Still a communist. Did you know that? But those are little things like that you're going to get in the book. Available wherever books are sold now. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everywhere. The Anti-Communist Manifesto by the great, the world famous Jesse Kelly. What, Chris? It's a huge day. Look, you didn't hear me come on here and say it's the most important day ever. It was one of the most important days ever. You didn't hear me say this is the most important book ever. Obviously, it's after the Bible, but I mean, it's number two. It's obviously number two. There's the Bible, but then there's the Anti-Communist Manifesto. This is makeup-wearing New York Times best-selling author. I'm sure you remember months ago when I proclaimed to have figured out the topic of your book. Friday, you said you'd address, you'd be announcing something this week. I have to go on record with my prediction. Your new book is going to address the Marxist takeover and corruption of American education system and the tactics and strategies they use. You said you can read this after the big announcement. Not really, but close. That's part of it. We definitely talk about education, not just upper, lower too. Because remember, even if it's not overt, Aiden, Jaden, and Braden are learning to hate their country at a very early age, and they are learning in school. So there. And maybe you're sitting there saying to yourself, oh, man, I hope this doesn't turn into some... Hold on, what month is it? Is it still January? It's January, January 31st. I hope this doesn't turn into some four or five month promo just trying to sell a book on the show. Well, I hope you know that, of course, that's what it's going to be. I'm going to be on here every minute trying to sell the book. I've never sold a book. I don't know how many copies I'm supposed to sell. Either way, there it is. The Anti-Communist Manifesto. Wait till you see the cover, too. It's sick. So there. Now, let's move on. Let's move on to something a little darker than the book. Although, I got to be honest, because of all the death in the history of communism, I guess there is some darkness to the book. But let's move on to something a little bit different here. Gosh, two really, really, really dark topics. One, it's a story out of New York City, New York Post. I'm sure you read it. This Instagram model stabbed his dad, stabbed his sister, killed his dad. It's over some laptop. It doesn't matter the who, what, when, where, or why. All right, so let's set that aside. All right, here's a problem. Speaking of the darkness of society, a problem in this society is we don't shame the correct things anymore, and shame is actually underrated. Part of the reason I come on here and make an idiot of myself every single night is the wife will tell you, I lack whatever gene shame is. Whatever it is, I don't have that gene. I don't sit around and fret what people think or what people say. And so it may make for good radio, but it makes me a terrible person. Shame is important. Shame is an incredibly important part of society. And we've reached such a level of evil, such a level of insanity now in this country, that we actually will shame, without hesitation, we will shame the people who are correct, and we refuse to shame the people who are incorrect. For instance, let's say me as a dude, let's say I decide I'm going to try and become a woman. Maybe I call up my old man. Hey, Dad. Oh, he'd love that conversation. Hey, Dad. Hey, hope you're not worried, but I've decided I'm actually a girl. I'm a dude, Dad. Anyway, Dad, what do you think about that? When he got done laughing on the other end of the phone, he would proceed to call me an idiot, a loser, a psycho, probably ask if I was drinking, probably actually make some sort of physical threat. Do I need to come down there? And at the end of that conversation, I would hang up that phone with my dad and I would be ashamed that it had ever occurred to me that I could just go to see a doctor and get a couple things snipped off and become a woman. Dad's correct in that scenario. Now, if I call up my father and I tell him, Dad, I'm a woman. And my dad says, oh, man, you know, you really might be. Let's go get you some psychological care. Make sure you are. And I go in with some shrink that wants his $600 every single appointment. And we go in for the first appointment and says, yeah, you know, I think you might be. Make sure you come see me next Friday. And then every Friday after that for 6 months, 20% off for a limited time. And then eventually they come to the conclusion that I should go see a surgeon. And the surgeon says, man, you know what? We ran some tests. You are a woman. Hey, come on. I got my scissors right next door. Let's get this taken care of. Well, then I've been set up for failure by a society that failed to shame the wrong things. It's time to start shaming mental illness again. I know that's uncomfortable. If it makes you uncomfortable, I don't give a crap. It's time to start slapping people awake when they are having struggles and let them know you're struggling, you psychopath. And I'm not near done on this. I will continue in a moment. This actually may be a theme for tonight on the show. In the meantime, should you run into a man as you walk down the sidewalk and he has a beard and an Adam's apple and hands the size of a tennis racket and yet he's wearing a skirt, may I suggest to you, you possibly just encountered somebody who mentally isn't doing all that well, and maybe, just maybe, you should put your hands on your hero gun just in case he decides to do you or your loved ones harm, especially because these people are apparently everywhere now. Go to hero2020.com. Doesn't matter if you're not a gun guy, not a gun girl, it's non-lethal. Pepper balls in the hero gun, pepper gel in the hero arrow, which is a little smaller, fits right in your purse, ladies, right in your pocket, fellas. Hero2020.com, code Jesse gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com, code Jesse. State restrictions may apply.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. My goodness, do we have a lot of stuff to get to tonight. We still have to get to, well, these heart attacks, Bill Gates, the Black Caucus and federal police reform, ESG, chicken wings, Google. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot. Keep in mind, you can email the show anything you want, your love, your hate, your death threats. Everything's welcome to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Back to our shame society. Chris said, what's up with the chicken wings? Oh, I don't know. One, they're outstanding. Two, I believe we have a hero on our hands who's being unfairly prosecuted by the DOJ, Chris. I'll get to that a little while from now. Wait a minute. I owe everybody a story from tonight. Oh, I do. You wanted a story about me putting my foot in my mouth. About 45 minutes from now, I will give that to you. All that and more coming up tonight. Back to our lack of shame in our society. And I realize this is not popular anymore because this has become this idea that nothing's shameful. It's become ingrained in our society. Do you really believe that? Let me ask you something. Just you and me talking. You don't believe me. You don't need to answer me. Do you have things about yourself you don't love? Do you have maybe habits or vices you shouldn't have? Well, of course you do, because everybody does. And just quick side note for you people who struggle with guilt over all these things. Ah, Jesse, I drink too much. Jesse, I shouldn't do this. Jesse, I shouldn't do that. One, struggling means you're doing well. It means you're going to come out of it one day because you're struggling. Two, everyone has them. Don't look across the street at Mr. Perfect Cleft in his chin and his dime wife and his 19 kids, all of them who have straight A's in school. They're all going to go to college and become CEOs. Don't look across the street and think they don't have any. They have them too. Same ones you do. He just has a better chin than you. No, seriously. But your vices, your things that you're not proud of, whatever those things are, let me ask you something. Do you broadcast them everywhere? Of course you don't. Of course you don't. You keep them quiet. You know that that's a good thing, right? I'm not saying hide everything and never seek help. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's a good thing that your moral code lets you know that this thing, whatever this thing is you do, it's not great, and you're too ashamed to get out there and broadcast it to everybody. That's not bad. That's good that we used to shame things. Why is it that these transgender surgeries, including transgender youth surgeries, why are they going up by over 100% every year now? Why? Because we stopped shaming people who deserve it. We stopped shaming scumbag doctors who do it, scumbag psychiatrists who do it, scumbag parents who do this to their children. Instead, we actually applaud them. We encourage it. And we don't have shame. Speaking of shame, you want to know another great example? Speaking of shame, you want to talk about shameless? Don't forget to go buy the Anti-Communist Manifesto on, and it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. What, Chris? I told you I was going to bring it up. No, seriously. Shameless. You want to talk about shameless? Outside of a New York City hotel, illegal immigrants, people who are in this country illegally, are protesting. Now, I'm going to do the best I can not to get upset, but this is the kind of thing that drives me crazy. In fact, I'm just going to read you a couple little quotes. This is from a New York Post article. Keep in mind, these are people who came here illegally. You're not welcome here. You weren't invited here. You have no citizenship here. Your citizenship belongs somewhere else. You are not welcome here at all. And instead, they're holding up signs saying, "No a la discriminación al emigrante," which I'm pretty sure that means this hotel isn't up to par in Spanish, but I'm going to have to look at a couple different translations, all right? No, seriously. Then there's this guy. The balls on these people. Oswaldo Guillen, 23 years old, of Ecuador. This is what he had to say. The hotel, because they had him up in a hotel. He had a suite. He had his own room with a bathroom, a TV, and a bar fridge for 2 months. And then on Saturday, they bust him somewhere where now he has a cot in a chilly space and communal showers. And then he said, quote, "The hotel had so many services they have just now taken away." Well, Oswaldo, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. If you would like, Chris, please reach out and let New York City know. We are more than happy to provide a compass for any illegal immigrant who's unhappy with the services they're receiving there. And guess what? You can pick up that compass and just hold it away from your body and, oh, look, that's south, and start walking. You're not welcome here. I don't want you here. You're a burden on this country. You're a burden on our citizens. You're a burden on our schools, our hospitals. You're not part of this country. Turn around and go back home. I cannot stand these ungrateful trash. And again, back to shame society. What kind of a country allows this crap? If you're an illegal immigrant, New York City or anywhere, you should be in the shadows. You should be hiding. You know why? Because you're a dirty criminal who doesn't belong here. That's why. Because you violated the sovereignty of my nation. You violated our borders. You violated this nation. You should be ashamed, and you should shut up. And that you have a caught at all outside of a jail cell should make you bend over and thank God on high, on your knees. I'm sorry. I said I was not going to get upset, but that these illegal immigrants in this daggone country and the people who support this crap drive me nuts. You know what? You know what the problem is, Chris? I've noticed this. The days that I lift weights, no big deal, just getting huge. The days that I lift weights and take my male vitality stack from Chalk, I can tell I get a little... I try not to get too fired up, but I can feel the vein pulsing. I can feel the vein pulsing. And this is mainly Chalk's fault. I mean, look, 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. I've been on it like 9-10 months now. It's getting bad. Actually, it's getting awesome. Who are we kidding? Ladies, you too. Hormones, energy, mood. You want to feel better naturally with natural herbal supplements. You want to get fired up? You want to fight for your country? Chalk.com, CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off any subscription. Subscribe to any of them. Cancel anytime if it doesn't work. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. Get it now.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Every time you play this song, it makes me want to do the show that night in aviators, Chris. I have some aviators at home. You know what else I need to bring back? A leather jacket. Look, I don't know. Shut up, Chris. Hear me out. I don't want to rub my wealth in anyone's face, but I actually have an Eddie Bauer leather jacket that I got in high school. I think it costs like 60, 70 bucks. Who's Eddie Bauer, Chris? I don't know. Apparently he makes leather jackets, but I think they're nice. It was like $70 jacket or something like that. I still have it. I bet it fits. I bet I could pull off leather like no tomorrow. What, Chris? I could pull off a leather jacket. You could. Do Jews wear leather jackets, Chris? You people do? You do? Don't make up lies, Chris. I've never seen a Jew in a leather jacket. That's a lie. What do you mean? It's because it doesn't look good. It looks fine. It looks totally fine. Got. Oh, by the way, pulled off something really slick today. So I'll get back to the illegal immigrants and politics and stuff like that in a moment, but I need to brag about myself because that's really important here for a second. Getting ready to leave the house today, throw on my best t-shirt, right? Because it's radio and TV and you got to look your best. So I throw on my best t-shirt, look down in the mirror, because I like to spend a lot of time in the mirror. Quit. I look down in the mirror and I see this stain on the shirt. Very clearly an oil stain. And then I remembered, because this happens to me all the time, I don't know what's wrong with me. There's something wrong. I'm sure it's a brain thing. I don't know. Probably a low IQ thing. I can't eat a meal without getting some on me. It is. I've been that way my entire life. And I know what you're thinking. You're just a slob. No, you don't understand. I'm all about table manners. No elbows on the table. I chew with my mouth closed. My napkin is in my lap. I know how to eat with manners. I'm not sitting there just throwing my face into a bowl of spaghetti. I swear I'm not. But shut up, Chris. No matter what I do, I come away with some food on me. It got so bad the other day. I have these cloth shoes, these Hey Dude shoes. They're super comfortable. I have these Hey Dude shoes. I actually dripped pizza sauce on my shoe as I was leaning over. And now I have a pizza stain on the top of my shoe. Chris said, it's amazing you didn't blow yourself up in the military. One, I wasn't in the military. I was in the Marines. That's one. Two, no, I had no problem with explosives. Explosives were fine. It's the food that it's a problem. Anyway, so if I get something on my shirt, I have a challenge. Actually, I have two challenges. One, when I get home, I have to let the wife know right away. She says, I don't know why women have some kind of magic thing they do with laundry. Apparently she needs to put something on it as soon as possible. So she says, I need to tell her right away. But telling her, speaking of shame, you know, I just said we lack shame in our society. She generally has some not very nice things to say when I tell her that I have stained yet another shirt, pants, shorts, shoes, whatever it is. There's a couple hurtful barbs in there that usually come my way, which are not that very nice. They're not very nice. That's one. But two, I forget sometimes when I get home. And if I forget, I won't discover it again. She won't get to the stain until she does the laundry and I put the shirt on and then the stain's there. And now I've got twice as much trouble because now not only do I still want to wear the shirt because it's just a little grease stain. What's the big deal? Not only do I want to wear the shirt and have to get out of the house with it, if she sees it, that shirt's going to get thrown away. And even if I run out of the house, which I've done before, she'll wait, she'll remember it, and then she'll throw it away when she does the laundry, and I'm powerless to stop it. She's actually texting me pictures while I'm at work before. I'm throwing this out, and I'll text back, no, don't you dare. It's already in the trash. It's too late. Anyway, so I come out today. One of my most comfy shirts had a little stain on it, right in the middle too, right on the stomach, and it's an orange shirt. So I decide I want to wear it one last time because I know she's going to see it next time she does laundry and throw it away. It was in the stomach area. Tell me this isn't brilliant, Chris. I walk out. I tell her, oh, man, I don't know. Maybe it was something I ate for breakfast. I've got a little stomach ache. And what that did, it allowed me to put my hand on my stomach. What, Chris? Like I'm rubbing my belly. Oh, man, just a little upset. Anyway, I love you. See you later. Now, boom, got another day out of it. See that, kids? Nothing you can't accomplish if you're not willing to lie. All right? No, stop. Don't lie. All right. Back to what we were talking about. I can't stand the fact that illegal immigrants are so comfortable in this country. They're complaining that they were kicked out of a New York City hotel, and now they have to use a communal shower. Are we really that unserious as a nation that illegal immigrants feel completely comfortable complaining that the bar was taken away, their personal hotel room was taken away? You know that that's a sign, right? You know that that's a sign that we won't be here 100 years from now, as I've said several times. A nation that cares so little for the concept of citizenship to it is not a nation that will be around. In fact, it's not even, you know what? I misspoke there. It's not even that they care little about the citizenship. They flat out look down on it. They do. They look down on it. Drives me crazy. All right, let's get to a couple things, as long as we're on some dark stuff. You see, the economic news is kind of all bad. I don't have anything good to tell you. It's all bad. Inflation's bad. Economy's bad. Food's up. Eggs are up. Energy's up. Gas is up. You know all these things. But as I've tried to explain before, it's not just where we're at, right? It's not just where we're at. It's the direction. So much of life is about the direction you're headed, not where you're at the time, the direction you're headed. Maybe you're listening to me right now. Maybe you're too fat. But you just went on another walk today. You went out and did a mile or two. Okay, you're in actually a great place. You think you're in a bad place? Oh, I got so far to go. No. You're heading the right direction. Keep moving. But maybe you went the opposite way. Maybe you said to yourself a year ago, month ago, man, I'm too fat, I got to lose weight. But you still aren't working out, still eating bad. It's not that you're too fat, it's that the direction you're heading is bad. The direction the economy is heading is very bad. And they're not going to change it. Here's New York Senator Chuck Schumer.
Now you can use whatever train metaphor you want, anyone you want, but get on the Joe Biden Express now. Because we are not stopping.
What does that express? The express he's responding to is Joe Biden bragging about how great things are right now.
I ran for president to build an economy from the bottom up and the middle out. To bring back good paying jobs you can raise a family on, whether or not you went to college. To give working families a little more breathing room. To invest in ourselves again. To invest in America again. That's what we've done.
Yeah, they're bragging about where we're at and the direction we're headed. So that's why I've been given some warnings out there. By the way, speaking of a warning real quick, because there is a very fair criticism Democrats lob at Republicans. It's very, very fair. In fact, it's 100% accurate. And I'm going to play that for you here in a second. Before I do that, just as another word of caution, can you imagine what it would be like? Picture this moment. Picture getting home from work or school or whatever you're doing, and you see a piece of paper on your front door as you drive in. Maybe you're pulling in the driveway. Okay, what is that? Somebody leave a package? I got to go pick something up. And you go up to that notice on your door, only it's not that you have a package you need to pick up. It's a notice saying that you're being evicted from your home. Be out by this date or the constable will be here. Maybe you're sitting there saying, Jesse, I pay my bills. No, you don't understand. Home title theft means a crook hacked into your home title, which is online, took out several loans against your bank or against your home, and you owe that money in the eyes of those lending institutions. But Jesse, I didn't take out the loan. I know. That's what makes it so sad. He's already gone with the cash. You're getting evicted. Or you're going to spend about 50 G's taking him to court. That sound like fun? Or you could just get home title lock and stop it before it starts. Go to hometitlelock.com/Jesse and they'll stop it before you come home to an eviction notice. You don't think I'm telling you the truth? Go look up home title theft. Go look up the horror stories people are living through as we speak. HomeTitleLock.com/Jesse. All right. In general, we don't like to give the communists anything, and we certainly don't like to give the communists compliments. But they have a criticism of the Republicans that's very, very fair, and it's one we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to tell you a funny personal story in about 20 minutes. Oh, we have so much to come. Hang on.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm going to tell an embarrassing story about me about 10 minutes from now. Don't worry. As I said, this show is not going to turn into one gigantic infomercial for my book, The Anti-Communist Manifesto, that's available for pre-sale now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and anywhere else books are sold. I'm not going to do that to you. I'd never do that to me. You know I'm above things like that. All right, quit. Seriously, it is the Jesse Kelly Show. You can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, before I get to that story and some other stuff, I want to get to one of the creepier things I've ever heard. But before I get to that, we have to get to this Democrat criticism I just referenced. There is something Democrats say routinely about Republicans, and it's 100% true, and Republicans don't want to hear it. But it is true, because I see, you know, guys like Kevin McCarthy, and I understand that, going on the Sunday shows, and they're doing this thing because there's about to be a big debt ceiling.
We're
going to
meet this Wednesday. I know the president said he didn't want to have any discussions, but I think it's very important that our whole government is designed to find compromise. I want to find a reasonable and a responsible way that we can lift the debt ceiling but take control of this runaway spending. I mean, if you look at the last 4 years, the Democrats have increased spending by 30%, $400 billion.
Okay. But Democrats go on TV and they say this, and these are all, don't get me wrong, these are all detestable people. They're all communists. They're all liars. But in this instance, they're not wrong.
I think the other thing working against McCarthy is that three times Donald Trump asked Republicans to raise the debt limit. Right. Three times they did it. How now do you have smoke for a Democrat?
Well, and it's
president?
Not just that. It's not just that. I mean, Donald Trump is responsible for $7.8 trillion of debt on his own. Republicans were absent through the Trump years and talking about fiscal restraint. It's hard for them to say now this on discretionary spending alone, right? They're not talking about entitlement reform. We have to do this. It just feels like a phony fight, even for somebody who's, I think we need real spending reform.
You raised the issue of
setting Trump aside, actually not setting Trump aside, include him in it. It's much more than a Trump problem. This is a Republican problem. Republican presidents, Republican senators, Republican congressmen, over and over and over and over again, will vote for these gigantic spending bills. In fact, because maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, not this guy or not that guy, your favorite one. Let me ask you something about your favorite one, whoever it may be. When's the last time your favorite run proposed a cut to spending? Because this is the best you can ever get out of the Republicans. This is the best. Well, this is pretty much the best I've ever seen in my life. Democrats will come out and they'll get some big budget or something like that passed. And the budget says we're going to spend $2 trillion more next year than we did the year before it. And Republicans will eventually take power and they'll pass a bill that says, no, we're not. we're only going to spend $1.5 trillion next year, more than we spent the year before. Okay, so you're still spending more. You're spending even more. You're spending more than you were before. You're not cutting anything. You're cutting the increase you were going to do, but you're still spending more. The problem still remains. No political party in this country actually does want to cut spending. And look, in their defense of Republicans and Democrats, I can't believe I'm going to say this, in their defense, we don't want to cut spending. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. We say we do. I get that. Hey, should we cut spending? Yeah. Do we spend too much money? You bet. Hey, are you worried about the debt? You're daggone right, man. Cut down the debt. Okay, well, the military, Social Security, and Medicare are the three biggest government expenditures. Which one of those would you like cuts for? Whoa! Hold on, Jack. I paid for that. Do we want to cut spending? Or do we say we do? I want to cut spending. Okay, well, I think we actually have more than one military base around the world that's kind of useless. It's really, really expensive. I think we should get rid of a lot of that. What are you, soft on terror? Okay. All right, so no military. All right. I think we really need to cut spending because $31 trillion in debt is going to quickly turn into $40 trillion in debt, and it's going to actually collapse the entire financial system of the globe when that happens. So do you think we should do anything with Social Security? I paid into that. Where's my cost of living increase? Okay. All right. You see what I mean? And I get it. By the way, I get these are valid things. I get that people live on it and people did pay into Social Security and people do think the military is important. And I'm not actually denying any of that. But they're saying you want something done and then there's agreeing to have anything done. I mean, we talked about being too fat earlier just because it's an easy one. And I've had plenty of times in my life where I've gotten too soft, too out of shape. Man, I really want to lose weight. Okay, Jesse, you want to go for a jog with me this morning? Nah, actually, I'm going to sleep in. Okay, well, I think we should just, let's just have eggs for lunch. We'll have some eggs. No, actually, double quarter pounder with cheese and fries and stuff like that sounds better. Okay, so do you want to lose weight? Do you? Do you want to cut spending? Do you? Neither party has the stomach to cut spending because the truth is the American people love the spending. Oh, you won't forever. As soon as the debt collapse comes, everyone will be busy pointing fingers at each other. You spent this and you spent that and how could you and how could you? When's the last time you challenged your GOP rep or Democrat rep, wherever you happen to be? When's the last time you challenged them on the money they spent? You know what? GOP rep is more appropriate. When's the last time you challenged them on the money they spent? The truth is we don't. All right. Now, I have an embarrassing personal story before we get to this Black Caucus stuff, the heart attacks, the number's out now, the increase in heart attacks with young people, yikes. We'll get to that after we get to my story and ESG and all these other things. But first, save a life tonight. Tonight is the night. Maybe you've been thinking about it. Maybe you've heard me read these stories from preborn about this lady had triplets and didn't know it. She was going to abort triplets. And then she goes to preborn. She gets an ultrasound, chooses life. Now there's three people alive from one ultrasound that wouldn't have been before. Maybe you like hearing me read these stories. Maybe you've thought about giving but never have. What if tonight's the night? What if tonight is the night that you give $28 to preborn? They take your $28 and they use it to give that young lady a free ultrasound. And you just saved a life. And you know what? You'll probably never meet that kid. Maybe you will. But you'll probably never meet that kid. But you will go about the rest of your life having saved someone's life. That is putting your money where your morals are, is it not? Dial #250 and say baby. Or you can go right online and go to preborn.com/Jesse. $28 saves a life. $140 saves five of them. Tonight is the night. Now, since I've been shamelessly plugging my book for an hour, I am going to now tell you a story about the worst time I've ever put my foot in my mouth. And you'll laugh. Hang on.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.